Have you ever wondered whether what you do really matters? Have you ever wondered that? Probably, if you're honest, you have. And that's okay. I think we've all wondered that. I think we've all considered that, asked that question at some point. Does what I do really matter? Do I have any sort of important part to play in what goes on in my work, in my family, in my community, in my world, in my church? Is there anything significant really that I bring to the table? Maybe you've thought nobody would notice if I wasn't even around. I don't have the gifts that other people have. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a musician. I'm not a leader. And you've concluded, because you're not those things, that you don't really have much to offer. Or maybe you've looked at someone else and thought, I wish I had their gifts. What would that be like to be as gifted as those people are? If I could do what they do, then I would really matter. And what I do would matter. If you've ever had any kind of thoughts like that, if I'm anywhere close to the ballpark on what you have struggled with from time to time in your own mind and heart, and you've thought things similar to that, then Paul has something to say to you today, and the Holy Spirit, through what Paul wrote, has something to say to you. If you can identify with any of that, and my guess is all of us can identify in some way with those hypothetical questions that I raised. And so I feel very confident in saying that this passage and what the Holy Spirit says to you through it will be incredibly personal and relevant today. We'll be in 1 Corinthians 12, and we'll be starting at verses 4 through 6 in the passage, as it really sets the stage for the rest of the passage that we'll consider together this morning. So 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 6. And as I read just these opening verses, if you're able, could you please stand in honor of God's word? I'll be reading from the ESV. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 6. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Amen. You can be seated. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what we just read, that you don't make everything and everyone the same, that there are varieties of gifts, there are varieties of services and ministries, there are varieties of activities that we can find ourselves participating in and doing. And that's a good thing. You are a creative God, and there is beauty in diversity. And yet, throughout that, there is great unity, because all the different gifts that we have received at salvation all come from the same source, your Holy Spirit. And it is He, the one Spirit, who empowers the exercising and the application of all the gifts that He has given. And it is you, the one God, Father, Son, and Spirit, that directs and orchestrates and organizes and administers all as you see fit. And so, Father, as we see this unfolding throughout this passage, and we seek to unpack and apply the riches of the truth and the wisdom and the practicality of what Paul under the inspiration of your Spirit, has expressed in this letter. May we take it to heart. May your Spirit be the teacher, I pray. Beyond the voice of a mere man, may it be the voice of God that is heard this morning. Tune every person to what your Spirit would say to them. Keep us engaged. Keep us attentive. And please, Holy Spirit, make the application that you know is needed in each life as we go forward in this text. We commit our minds, our hearts, and this time to you, our great God. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, having established really by way of introduction what Paul says in verses 4 through 6, let's jump ahead together to verses 12 through 14. Verses 12 through 14 is where we'll read next in 1 Corinthians 12. So Paul, as we just read, emphasized the fact that there are varieties of gifts, there are varieties of service, which is the exercising and application of those varieties of gifts, but it's the same God who, through the Holy Spirit, actually does the gifting at the moment of salvation. He is actually the one that empowers the use of that gift or gifts, and it is the same Lord that directs and organizes all of it. So really, you have the Trinity on display in those first few verses. The same Spirit, the same Lord, that's referencing our Savior Jesus Christ, and the same God, the Father, who kind of superintends all of that and directs and empowers all of those giftings and the exercising of those gifts in everyone. So it's a beautiful picture that he presents there in verses 4 through 6. Now, in verses 12 through 14, there's the implication and application of all that. So, verse 12, he says this, Paul writes, "For just as the body, the physical body, is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body," so you have different body parts, but they're all part of the same one body, "so it is with Christ," or in other words, so it is with the church. You have the body of Christ, the church, and it's full of a variety of people, all kinds of different backgrounds, all kinds of different opinions and preferences and talents and skill sets and all kinds of different spiritual gifts. So you have a lot of variety, but just as the human body made up of different individual parts is still one body, he's saying that's how it is with the body of Christ. There's a lot of diversity, there's a lot of variety, but it's still one body. And that's something very important to understand. So it is with Christ. And then he qualifies this. He gives reasons for why he says that. Verse 13, "For in one Spirit," that's God the Holy Spirit, "we were all baptized into one body," and that's at the moment of salvation, "Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit." That means no believer has any greater access to the Holy Spirit than another believer. Aren't you glad for that? There's not different degrees of having the Spirit. Every single believer in Christ at the moment of salvation, were placed into the body of Christ, were filled with the Holy Spirit for eternity. They were indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And no believer has any more of the Holy Spirit than another. Some believers are more yielded to the Holy Spirit than others, and that's where the different degrees come into play, and we all need to be equally, continually, constantly, and increasingly yielded to the Holy Spirit. But we don't need any more of the Spirit of God in us than what we have received at the moment of salvation. One Spirit, one source of giving us, applying the salvation that Jesus Christ procured at the cross. And then he says this, verse 14, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. And that's a good thing, too. The body does not consist of one member. It's not all about one person or any one person, but many. So in these verses, we're given a really important and I think monumental, like game-changing truth and reality. Here's what it is. Unity in the body of Christ is a reality to remember and a goal to pursue. Here's why that's so significant. I think we all understand that unity is what we are to pursue, and that's what we're commanded to have and what we should have together. We should be unified. That certainly is a goal that we should pursue. But it's not just a goal to pursue. What we need to understand, church, is that the unity of the body of Christ is a concrete, absolute reality. It's fact. So we can neglect our unity together, and unfortunately so often we do. We can certainly neglect it. We can ignore it. We can operate outside of it. But it doesn't change the fact that the body of Christ, whether we exercise this or not, it remains true that the body of Christ is one. We are united. Whether we act like it or live that out or not doesn't change the fact that we are. And that's what those verses just said. Just as the body is one and has many members, so it is with the body of Christ. For in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. And the body does not consist of one member, but of many. So unity is a fact. And so what we have to do is live in light of that fact. We have to pursue that which is already true of us. And what is already true of us needs to define all that we do and all that we are. Then he goes on with the same concept and kind of elaborates on his argument on why this is so. Verse 15, Paul says, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? So a pretty silly, kind of comical analogy that Paul makes here, but I think his point is pretty clear. It's not about each individual member being like everybody else or being what they are. It's knowing I have a specific role that I've been given. I've been made to be a certain way. I have a certain skill set and gifting that someone else doesn't have. And if I were not part of that body and I weren't exercising that gift, then there would be a lack. There would be something missing, and vice versa. So it's not about everybody having the same thing or being exactly the same way. It's knowing I have been gifted in a very specific way. I've been given a certain realm of influence and ministry to do that other people can't do, and they've got theirs. And what we have to do is realize that we all come together and function as one body with the individual specific parts all doing what they're supposed to be doing. So let's go from the abstract, because admittedly this is pretty abstract. Let's go from the abstract to the practical for a minute. Imagine if everyone in the church preached. Who would greet people? Like you were greeted this morning. And I can say this because of who the greeter was. by a very lovely, beautiful greeter, my wife, Mrs. Leanne Chesley. And I guarantee you, you got a smile. You got a smile, right, when you were greeted, given that little puzzle piece in the bulletin? Who would greet people if everybody was preaching? Who would teach the children, which is happening right now downstairs? Cindy Kearns does a fantastic job. Who would lead worship? Who would quietly encourage the hurting and the discouraged? In other words, it wouldn't be a very healthy church, would it? If everybody just did the same thing, if everybody preached, it wouldn't be a very healthy church at all. And so what we need to do is two things. We need to stop comparing ourselves, and we also need to own with joy and with gratitude and a sense of awe the gifting that we have each received and the privilege we each have to serve in the body together. Just a note on the comparison thing. I think you'll agree. Comparison is something that we can all struggle with from time to time, don't you think? I think comparison is just, it's a constant struggle in one way or another. Some compare upward, some compare downward. Either way, here's something to remember about comparison. Comparison produces discouragement and distracts us from God's purpose. No good, really, ultimately, comes from comparison and playing the comparison game. It just ends badly. Comparison produces discouragement, inevitably, and distracts us from God's purpose. And here's what Paul says about God's purpose as it relates to the body and to everybody functioning together while also having their own specific calling and gifting. Here's God's purpose in all that. Verse 18. But as it is, God arranged. Do you see the sovereignty there? This was not accidental. This was not random. This was not spontaneous or chaotic. This is ordered. This is orchestrated. As it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. And that is an incredibly freeing reality. That means it's not up to me or to you to decide how the body should function. It's not up to me to dictate to you what you should be doing or what you have in terms of your personal spiritual gifting and qualifications and abilities. Each one of us has been placed in the body by God. We have been given specific gifting and skills to actually pour into and enhance the body. We've been equipped by God. And all of that is according to his perfect sovereignty. He's arranged the members in the body, each one of them. That means each one of you. Each individual believer has been arranged in the body by God, not by chance, all as he chose. What a fantastic idea that is. Verse 19, if all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. By itself, this little puzzle piece, doesn't seem very impressive, does it? But how many times have you worked a puzzle and discovered that one piece was missing and went crazy until you found it? I'm not a puzzle person. I hate puzzles. I really despise them. I just don't have the patience for it. My wife loves them. She really likes puzzles. And she will, I've seen this firsthand, she will get close to losing her sanity if there's a piece missing that she can't find. And it doesn't matter if she has to work the next day, how tired she is, it's like she cannot go to bed until she finds that one piece. Any of you puzzle people identify with that? Yeah, you guys need some professional help. But that's how it is. One piece that's missing throws the whole thing off. And you got to find that piece to make it complete, right? One missing piece affects the entire picture. My friends, that's exactly how it is with the body of Christ. With this part of the body of Christ, let's make it specific. That's how it is with this local church, Faith Baptist. Every piece has value. Even the smallest or oddly shaped piece is necessary. Every piece has a unique place. God designed the church so that each individual piece fits together to form a complete picture. Every part matters. And to make that picture complete, it takes every single little piece because it all matters. Now, with that being said, here are some of the places in the puzzle, this puzzle known as Faith Baptist Church, that God may have you to fit specifically in order to complete the picture he intends for this body to be. Okay? Let's find our fit. Let me give you just a few examples of how you can find your fit with the puzzle piece that is your life in this puzzle known as Faith Baptist Church. The children's check-in. That's downstairs. That's before children's church. What we want to do is provide a safe, secure environment for our families. And so the kids that come into our children's ministry, they stop at the counter downstairs and they are checked in. They make sure that there is a parent or guardian and they're given a sticker, a label that they have to then scan in to pick up their child so that we know who's getting who, which child. And there's always a need for more people to serve in the check-in. And Pastor Scott, you can see him about that. There's some very simple training. I think they need to be a member, Pastor Scott. Is that correct? Okay. So if you need to be a member and you do a background check, and then there's a very simple, you guys are smart people. It'll be nothing for you to figure it out. A little bit of training on the system. I would love for there to be more people serving in that way. Don't see that as not important. It is. It is very important. There's the Olympians, which is getting ready to start up again in the fall. That meets on Sunday evenings. That's our elementary kids ministry that happens on Sunday nights. And it's a great, great ministry, and it's a great program. We would like to have enough teachers to where there's a rotation, just like we do on Sunday mornings with children's church, so that it's not on any one person to always do the teaching every single Sunday night. But for that to happen, we need more teachers. And it is a great privilege to be able to pour into the next generation. And there's so much that's provided for you. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. There's templates and lessons already structured for you. You just need to be able to actually make the application of that material and point the children to the Word of God and to the gospel. And so we'd love to have more people to do that. And again, that's getting ready to start. My wife, Leanne, is the person to talk to about that. Please consider and pray about serving in that way. Again, membership is required for that, and we do need you to pass a background check since you're working with kids. That's it. And we'd love to have more people involved with that. Another area that you might fit is in our music ministry. Musicians and singers up here leading worship. That is so important. That's such a vital part of our gathering each week, where our hearts and our minds are prepared to actually go into the presence of God, and that we have the right attitude going into the study of His Word. And praise and worship is something that not only is our privilege, but it's actually commanded in the Word of God to give God, because He is worthy. And so if you have any sort of gifting musically, if God has given you that type of gifting and skill, we would love to see you use that to honor the Lord. And so talk to Pastor Matthew if you have any interest at all in that. Maybe you've been considering it, and you just haven't jumped on that. Now's the time, okay? More areas of possible fit. Mentoring and discipling the younger generation and new believers. This is the pattern of Scripture, where all throughout the New Testament especially, we're given a pattern where older, mature believers come alongside and intentionally disciple, mentor, guide the younger generation as well as those that are new in the faith. And there is really no requirement on that other than that you know the Lord yourself. You've walked with Him. You have a mature relationship with God yourself. You know the Word. You're in the Word. If you're doing that, if you're already walking with God, you're in His Word, you're fellowshipping with Him already, then take someone else alongside of you as you do that. As you journey with God through His Word, bring someone else alongside and have them journey with you. That's what we all can do. Every single one of us can do that, and guess what? Every one of us should be doing that. There's a mandate attached to that. That's part of the Great Commission. We also always have need for people to check on and encourage our homebound saints. We have several people who just can't be with us gathering with the body, and they miss it. Their hearts ache to be here, but physically they just can't be. And so how great would it be to have a group of people that regularly, as their ministry, like your personal ministry, you take ownership and you say, I may not be able to sing up on stage. I don't think I can teach others, but you know what I can do? I can make phone calls, and I can send cards of encouragement, and I can even go by and help clean a house or pick up groceries or take someone to the doctor. I can do that. And we have homebound saints who would just be thrilled with your presence in their life in those ways. How about people that adopt some of our missionaries? We don't even have to have a big organized program for that. If just a few of you would say, you know what my ministry is going to be? I'm going to actually go out into that book that's out there, just off of the welcome desk. There's a table, and it has a binder with all of our missionaries in it, and there's actually a printout, a handout, right, Brad, of all of our missionaries that are listed that they can just grab from the welcome desk, I think, right? And it's already put together for you. Everybody's listed, all of our current missionaries, their phone numbers, their addresses, I think their birthdays, where they're serving. All of that is there, and you can grab that at the welcome desk and take it home. And what if a few of you would actually take that on as your ministry, where you say, I'm going to actually adopt a missionary or two, and I'm going to just regularly check in with them. I'm going to encourage them. I'm going to know about what's going on in their life personally, not just their ministry. And I want to be a source of light and warmth for them. Wow, what would that be like? Think of the encouragement that you would be able to provide and the role you would be able to play in what God is doing all around the world, beyond just giving a check and an offering plate. And last but not least, hospitality and fellowship events. You know, those times of gathering around the good food that we have, that doesn't just happen by accident. There's an organization involved with that. Every time we have a funeral here and we offer a meal for the family where they can gather and encourage one another afterwards, all of that takes people. And many hands make light work, right? And so fellowship events and hospitality. We always could use more people that are gifting and serving in that way to provide those types of times. Melinda Crouch is the one who currently heads that up, and I know she would welcome more people involved with that. So that's just a glimpse. I mean, there are more things, but that's, I think, a fairly good cross-section of ways that you, yes, you, might fit with the puzzle piece that is your life in this body. Please consider those things seriously and pray about how God might use you in those ways. Let's go back to our scripture text and finish the passage. Verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. You're beneath me. Get that? Okay. Sorry. I apologize. Just couldn't resist. Nor again the head to the feet. I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker, notice seem to be, not really are, but seem to be, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Can't do without them. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed. There again is deliberateness, intentionality, order, sovereignty. God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body. That's the purpose of why God has done what he's done. And that's what Paul has addressed more than once in this letter, the need for remembering and exercising unity. He's already addressed the division that's been taking place in this local church. And not just Paul, but Jesus himself. That's what he prayed for in John 17. One of the last records of his statements before dying on the cross, he prayed for unity for the body. That they, Father, may be one, even as you and me are one. I and you and me, may they be in us, so that the world may know that you have sent me and loved them, even as you loved me. So that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have, watch this, this is still in verse 25, at the end of the verse, but that the members may have the same care for one another. In other words, no respecting of persons, no superiority on display, that no one member values another over another, that we all care for each other equally with the same measure of love and interest and affection and well-being, nurturing, guiding, directing, pouring into one another, valuing one another equally, regardless of our background, regardless of our station, regardless of our skill set. And then verse 26, it's a beautiful end to this passage. And this is again, reality. This is fact. And it's what should mark us. Verse 26, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. So we need to reject the way the world operates, which is if someone gets ahead and someone achieves something that another one hasn't, the world doesn't usually rejoice in that. The world resents that, right? How come they? Why not me, right? That's the worldly way of viewing other people's honor and success. And in terms of when somebody suffers, the world in itself does not naturally have empathy and compassion. It's, hey, that doesn't affect me, so it's not my problem. That's the way the world looks at things. What we are to do as the one body of Christ, when one member suffers, we suffer with them. When someone is broken and crushed and grieving and mourning, we grieve and mourn with them. We enter into that with them. We don't just leave them on their own. When someone is honored, we honor them and we rejoice with their being honored. That's how it is to look in the body of Christ. So bringing all this home, let me leave you with this statement. In the body of Christ, every believer, every single one, has been intentionally placed by God, not by random chance or coincidence, intentionally placed by God, has been given a specific purpose, that little puzzle piece, and is essential to the whole. That's the truth of what it means to be part of the church, right there. May that be seen in us. Amen? May we function that way. May we live in that way by the Spirit's empowerment and by helping one another. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word and for once again just the incredible relevance that Paul's letter provides. I pray that we here at this body, this part of the overall body of Christ, this little gathering here in West Virginia, Prosperity, I pray that we would really apply the truth of what we just heard and read together. May we realize that though we are different from one another in many ways, if we are in Christ, then we are one body together. And help us to act like it. May that not just be a statement we say or a concept we agree with. May it be how we live. And the unity that is true of us, may it define us. And Father, I pray that your Spirit would very personally lead and direct in each individual life, to guide them, to motivate them, to stir them, to direct them to where in the body they will personally fit, where you have them to be that one puzzle piece, that without them, the picture would not be complete. May they see where they fit and may they own it with joy and eagerness. So please guide and direct in that way, I pray. All for your glory and for the overall good of the body. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.